I'm going to take you now to Kangaroo Island because the fires on Kangaroo Island have destroyed more than 90% of Kangaroo Island plantation timber's stock. So what does that mean for the future of plantation timber on KI? Keith Lamb is the Managing Director of KI Plantation Timbers and is with me in the studio. Good afternoon, Keith.
Good afternoon.
Now, first of all, can you take us through what damage that the fire has caused?
The fires that we received over the last month and a day have taken out about 90% of the forest by area, but it doesn't mean that 90% of the volume or the salvageable volume has gone. What it means is we received fire in some form across about 90% of the estate.
So how much is salvageable?
We currently have standing about 4.5 million tonnes. We're now working through the scenarios to figure out what we can take out, but we're optimistic that we'll be able to take out a large proportion of that.
So what are your options with these damaged trees? What can you produce?
Well, the bulk of those plantations were grown for hardwood eucalypts, hardwood wood chips, and that goes ultimately to export markets for paper and paper products. There's also the potential to manufacture some solid wood products out of the hardwood as well. The balance of the estate is softwood, and softwood's typically grown for house construction type materials or furniture.
So are you weighing up whether logs, chips, pellets at this stage? Have you got a few plans in place?
Yeah, the challenge we have today is the same that we had prior to the 20th of December when the fires started, and that is that we do not have a port or industrial scale port on Kangaroo Island. So in the absence of that, we're having to think more broadly and more laterally about what types of options we have. That includes the potential for processing on island, which we've already announced publicly, and also the potential for some barging activities of a fairly small proportion of the overall estate until the port, the proposed port, is built.
Now, I'll touch on the port in a moment, but I think this sort of gets to the answer of this question that I'm about to ask, and that is, while lightning strikes caused this fire on Kangaroo Island, the timber plantations would have made them harder to stop, and there's been long-running angst in the community around the timber industry on KI. Do you still think that there is a place for timber plantations on Kangaroo Island?
Yeah, I've heard those comments, and I guess that the first thing I'd have to say is that the losses incurred by the other parts of the island, that is housing and agriculture, were quite devastating. So it wasn't just a case of forestry versus the rest of the island. The whole of the island has been affected by this, tourism, for example. Forestry itself is no different in many ways to any other agricultural activity. What was unique in these circumstances was that we had two events on the 20th of December and the 3rd of January in which the intensity of the fire was beyond any capability to stop that fire, and hence the situation that we're in today.
On the text line, I'm receiving, I guess, some of that anger and angst from the community, people saying no more plantations on KI, it's too dangerous as it feeds fires, plus too many animals have died as a result. There's a few more texts coming in on that as well. Can you take us through your thought process around why would you rebuild, given that there is such anger over you being on the island from, well, I've read some pretty strong letters to the editor, and the Kangaroo Island Mayor, Michael Pengilly, has been quite strong in his comments that you're not welcome on the island. Why would you yet continue to rebuild and not cash out, sell your acres and pay back stakeholders?
Yeah, I guess there's a couple of points to make. First of all, plantation forestry is well established elsewhere around the country. There's about 2 million hectares around the country, and those other areas or those other regions are doing very well in terms of development, in terms of employment, the income earned and so forth. So Kangaroo Island is a little bit unique because it is an island, and the community on the island are just not used to forestry operations. They haven't seen how forestry can be successful once it's fully mature and has access to the market, essentially. So that's the first point. The second is that the long-term proposition of growing trees on island hasn't changed, and that is that Kangaroo Island is a good place to grow trees. The biological growth in those trees is about 30% higher than it is on the mainland of Australia. So the underlying essentials are still the same. What has changed is the short-term prospects, and that is the operating environment that we're in now. Previously, we were working on an orderly transition with a startup harvesting around 6.5 million tonnes over the next 10 to 12 years. Now what we're faced with is a short-term salvage opportunity around 4.5 million tonnes that we think we can get out. But the underlying economics hasn't changed, and that is good soils, good rainfall, good location to grow trees.
I'm speaking to Keith Lamb, who is the Managing Director of KI Plantation Timbers. 0467 922 891 if you'd like to get in touch. Keith, I read in The Australian, they're reporting that your assets are in excess of $100 million, but your fire insurance policy is only $5 million. Is that correct?
No. The excess is $5 million on the claims. So the number's in the public domain, which I can share with you. So the book value of the tree crop prior to the fire was around $115 million. We had insurance in place with an annual cap to around $68 million. And then there's an excess in that. So the company's well placed in terms of its insurance. And as I mentioned before, there is the potential for making up the difference with salvage. But the challenge is still to get the logs off the island.
And that's where that's where you're pushing ahead with the port. There has been, again, a lot of community concern about the location of that port. Just how timely are you going with that process?
Well, the EIS process has been running for some years. You'd be aware that we're now in the final stages of that. We've had two rounds of public consultation. The first was early last year, early 2019, when the initial design went to the community for public consultation. On the back of that, with the submissions we received, we introduced a change in the design on the seaward side of the port. That triggered another round of public consultation. And generally speaking, the reaction we got from the community was positive to that change in design. That means now we're in the final stages of preparing the EIS in its final format to submit to state government and ultimately the federal government for approval.
Looking at the recovery process now, there's been talk about using your mill to produce fence posts. Are you able to do that?
Yes, we're working on that now. We're looking to bring in a partner to run the mill. KIPT is not a sawmilling company. We don't have the expertise internally, but we just happen to have inherited a mill from the previous owners. The idea we're running with is to bring in a partner to operate the treatment plant for posts and poles. And if we're successful with that, we would immediately start harvesting the plantation forests that are capable of producing those posts and poles.
And so at this stage, your plan is to keep going. You're saying it's still viable to keep going with production, and you're not going to be selling up or returning land to farmers on the island.
Well, it's not a case of returning land to farmers. KIPT owns the land, if you like. There's a range of options ahead of us, but as I said before, the fundamental prospect for forestry is still the same, and that is it's a good place to grow trees. What I think we need is a wider discussion about the landscape management on island, and that's not just about forestry, it's about the whole of the island. So park management, remnant vegetation along roadsides, the fire preparedness and the responsiveness of the community.
Did you have adequate fire breaks in place?
Yes, certainly did.
Keith Lamb, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you.